Chapter 1. A Hook in the Thames. James McCormick was late waking up that spring Saturday morning. He had been up all night surfing various websites and had not realized where the time had gone. The truth is, he had been retired for a few years now and did not have much better to do. Since the dawn of his existence, he was living on Clemens Close in East Barnet in North London. To be exact, that's where his childhood home was. His father had come from Scotland during the war, had met his mother in a shelter during one of the German bombings, and ever since, almost, he had stayed with her in her house. A little while later, they had married and had one child, James. The house had not suffered any damage during the bombings, and so it was easy to preserve the old colors of the neighborhood housing. It was a two-floor house with an attic with a skylight, so typical of old buildings in that neighborhood. James worked in the civil service in one of the supportive agencies of the Foreign Secretary. He did not have friends. When he got off work, he would sit in a pub near the train station for his house, have a beer, and then go home. James lived with his mother. His father had died when he had been still young, leaving him as the heir to the home expenses and, of course, the personal costs of his mother, included in which were her medical bills, all of which were not a negligible amount. He never got married, and almost everyone who knew him said his behavior was very odd indeed. As for his love life, that remained unknown to all. His mother had stopped talking to him about marriage many years ago. On the rare occasion she made the mistake of mentioning it, he would look at her austerely in the eyes, in an indication that it was not a subject he wanted to talk about, and could then open the television and devote himself to one of the documentaries he liked to watch. When he reached the age of 50, he lost his mother and was left entirely alone. Even this new form of loneliness had not made him change his mind. It was too late to start a family and too late for him to change his ways. He remained distant and awkward in all modes of communication. This reclusive man liked to walk alone,
the kind of walks that allow one to see people, but prevent one from exchanging a single word with any of them.
He especially liked to walk on the banks of the River Thames, and every Saturday morning he would take the tube from Woodside Park, which was near his house,
and get off in central London, so he could walk by the water.
He kept this schedule with reverence, even now that he was retired. He also went down to Covent Garden for coffee every Tuesday. On these outings, he would buy books, which he later read at home when he didn't want to watch television. He was still a fan of old movies and had in his possession quite a collection of DVDs. There was also one more outing he made to a bar that none of his acquaintances knew about, but that his mother could scent on his clothes when he came home from it late at night. This outing used to be a weekly affair, but after a certain age it had become less frequent, though always on a Wednesday. The only time he could abandon his schedule was for 20 days each summer, when he traveled to various destinations, initially in Europe and then in the American continent. There he could just get lost without leaving a trace. As to where he went and what he did there, he did not discuss any of that, not even with his mother. Because of his professional background,
he was reasonably literal in computers,
and so when he retired, he bought a desktop computer and all of the other things necessary to get online. He had placed it on his desk in that odd space between the living room and bedroom in a nook the apartment wall made, suitable only for something like this.